Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 27th of September, recording at 9:26 p.m., and that's still British summer time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were quite firm here today, helped by the surge that we saw on Wall Street on Friday. So we had some reasonably good gains, and one of the sort of laggards overall, but a strong performance today by Australia, which broke up out of a little trading range consolidation, up 1.6%. The European stock markets were mildly to the plus side at one stage, but then closed down on the day. Small losses, averaging less than half a percent, probably around a quarter percent on average. Wall Street closed a little bit lower, a half a percentage point on average. Brazil was firmer, up 0.91 of a percent. Long-dated government bonds had a very bullish day here for the futures. U.S. 30-year bonds currently up nearly a point and a half. And the U.S. dollar, I think it's a slightly firmer here on the dollar index. But I notice it's down against the Asian currencies for the most part. And what else here of note? Gold, a quiet day, traded up to the 1300 once again, and then backed off to 1295.63. And the grain and bean complex, which had such an explosive move on Friday, it was strong early on, but then those gains faded, and wheat and corn were down on the day. Soybeans showed a tiny gain, and rough rice closed with a gain. Cotton was the star performer in commodities. I think it was limit up here today. It's been strong for quite some time. White sugar, well, both sugars were firm here today. And that's industrial metals, mostly a little bit easier, although tin and nickel were exceptions. Tin's been an outstanding performer in recent weeks. Crude oil, fraction lower. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, we have these short-term overbought conditions. And we are, I think, due for some sort of pause and consolidation. The Asian markets, which have led the move to the upside and uncoupled from Wall Street while it was still in the middle of its ranging phase a few months ago, the Asian stock markets have been getting these rising consolidations where they'll just pause and in a short-term trading range before breaking upwards once again. But all the leaders are a bit overextended relative to their trend means, represented by the 200-day moving averages. So it wouldn't be too surprising if we saw some mean reversion in the not-too-distant future. I think it's a possibility over the medium term, if not the short term. Now, the laggards in here are mostly the Western stock markets, but again, they put in a stellar performance here this month, but again, we have the short-term overbought conditions, so we can't be surprised if we get some shallow consolidations. But I'm aware that as I speak, that this sounds a wee bit negative, and I want to say that repeat what I was saying last week, that I think the probability is that reactions and consolidations, reactions will be quite shallow. I think we have moved beyond those big Sisyphusian corrections that we were seeing within the ranges, and that the bulls have the upper hand here. Now, why might that be the case? Well, the U.S. economy is not quite so bad as a lot of people were saying it was. That doesn't mean that there aren't serious problems, such as the unemployment, which is almost certainly considerably higher than the actual official statistics. A lot of people are just no longer searching for jobs, so they fall off the unemployment totals. And the housing market is very vulnerable to a further correction. That's hardly surprising, given the boom that it actually saw. But the saving grace for the U.S. economy overall, of course, is the strength of the so-called developing, I prefer to say progressing, markets. And U.S. multinational companies are benefiting from that. When I say that it's not about the economy, it's about the actual stocks that you might consider. We do have, of course, quite a number of U.S. stocks and also European stocks, which have good savings rates, so in other words, strong balance sheets. They've got good solid earnings. They're leveraged to the global economy. They've often got decent dividends or have a record of edging those dividends higher on an annual basis. And they've got good chart patterns. Now, as a simple rule of thumb, for investors who invest primarily in their own countries and live in, say, the USA and live in Europe, if you're becoming more interested in stock markets and saying, well, what should I actually go for? Well, technically, one filter that I would use is that since the stock market indices have been ranging for such a long time, that any share that is outperforming its national index is a good bet to go on outperforming in the stronger fourth quarter period that I do anticipate, even if we have a little bit of choppy ranging activity in October. Again, I think the bulls are ascendant. One of the reasons, of course, that I've mentioned for that is that so many of the leading multinational companies in the West are doing well via the global economy. The liquidity remains abundant, and we're getting further liquidity creation by the Fed. They're being really quite aggressive in here, and we're seeing probably similar action from the Bank of England within the UK. Global interest rates remain low, and even in the stronger economies, the interest rates are probably negative for the most part. In other words, below the rates of inflation that are being experienced in those economies. But the U.S. printing is the big story here, really. And Bernanke's obviously determined to do everything that he possibly can here to avoid the Japaneseization of the U.S. economy. And I wouldn't bet against him succeeding. I think he will succeed, albeit at the cost of some future inflation. Now, that background overall that I've just described is still quite favorable for stock markets, particularly after they get a little bit of a pullback and consolidation just to correct a short-term overbought condition. And therefore, I would much rather be in equities than long-dated government bonds, which I think are dangerous. Although they're still being held up by the quantitative easing, or the belief that we will see either quantitative easing or further deflationary pressures, but and then the and I think the stock markets are better than the corporate bonds overall, because those corporate bond yields are really quite low, not surprisingly, given the given the overall economic environment. So I'm strongly in favor of fuller money themes and Western shares that are leveraged to the global economy, and many of those, such as miners, international miners, those of course remain fuller money secular themes. And I'm not tempted to sell out of any of my core equity positions. Now, looking at commodity markets, again, the gold story, the gold technical action has been pretty solid, but after 8 weeks in a row on the upside, I think one needs to be a little bit cautious in terms of piling in at this $1,300 level. I've said recently that the grain and bean complex is my gold currently, while quickly pointing out that gold is in a secular bull market still in our view, whereas the grains are just experiencing a cyclical recovery due to adverse weather conditions. So, what else to mention in here? I think that if we see pullbacks and consolidations in some of these stock markets, which is, I would think, easily at least a 50-50 chance here in the short term, that we would probably see similar action in a number of the commodity markets, particularly regarding the industrial commodities. But I would expect both to be correlated once again as we go into the fourth quarter, particularly in the November and December period. Again, I think the bullish factors that I've mentioned earlier in this audio will be favorable for equities. They'll be favorable for global growth, and therefore favorable for commodities. And that may cause some selling pressure in the long-dated government bond department. And overall, a quiet day here, but an interesting one, an environment that I think continues to favor the bulls overall. I've described it as a bit of a sweet spot for stock markets. The biggest risk out there is not deflation, in my opinion. It is the risk that we do see more commodity price inflation than monetary authorities or most investors are currently expecting. But that is not today's problem, but it could well be a future problem. We'll see. And on that note, all the best to all of you.